We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. It's quarter number four of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is usually the time where we do Ask Greg your Penn State football and recruiting questions for Greg Pickle. Greg is not here this week, so they are going to be for me. This is Ask Dustin. Jim Galante here with me as well. This segment brought to you, as always, by tailgatewine.com. If you're looking for that perfect, unique gift idea for that Penn State fan in your life, you got to check out tailgatewine.com, specifically the blue and white wine gift box. They have some wine and barbecue pairings you can't miss. You can check it all out at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. And it all ties in today because our good friends at tailgatewine.com will be giving a bottle of wine away to whoever asks the best question. And guess what? I'm picking today.
You feeling the power?
I feel it, yeah. It's going right to my head. The least amount of power going all the way to my head.
Oh, my goodness. Just what you needed. All right. Here we go, Dustin. Let's get started. First question comes from Mark and from Murraysville. Mark actually asked two questions that are essentially the same. So early predictions have Penn State 9-3 for 2019. Aside from Ohio State and Michigan, rank the teams most likely to be that third loss. Mark also has his list. He went all the way through, but I'm just going to throw it to you, Dustin.
So he says besides Ohio State and Michigan, right?
Aside from Ohio State and Michigan, if those are two losses, where would that third one come from?
Well, there will be two games that rise to the top of the list, and I would say at Michigan State would be number one in this response, just because 2 years in a row, Michigan State had a far – they had an inferior team to Penn State. Like, let's be honest about that. An inferior team. 2 years ago, it's in East Lansing. You know, there's all that weather craziness. Okay, you chalk that up as you know, a fluky sort of loss. But last year, they do it again without much going on. They didn't have a lot of momentum going into that game. They didn't have a lot of momentum after that game. But they outplayed and specifically outcoached Penn State. So to go on the road to East Lansing on October 26th, a week after you play Michigan at home, I think there's some vulnerability there. And I think that one probably makes Penn State fans queasy right off the bat. I also think, you know, at Iowa on October 12th, a little bit less of a threat to me, but still, anytime you're going on the road, you open it with Maryland on September 27th, then you got Purdue at home, which is a rising program. You're at Iowa, Michigan, and then at Michigan State. It's a sneaky stretch there around Michigan. So to answer the question, Michigan State poses a problem on the road, and to a lesser extent, I think Iowa on the road.
Well, Mark agrees with you. He has Michigan State and Iowa at the top of the list. And boy, Michigan State really, you're right. They're not as good a team talent-wise as Penn State. I was so sure this past season Penn State got them at home, revenge game. And there you go again.
I think there's a real threat here that Mark D'Antonio just has James Franklin's number. However, sometimes you can't quite put your finger on that. I think he just knows the right buttons to push against Penn State, and I'm not sure that James Franklin has had a response to that yet.
Well, we'll see if he does this season. All right, next one up. Trisha from Fishtown. I believe Trisha was a winner a few weeks back. With Bressy, Fleming, Sampa, Tyree, and Carmody all trending or committed elsewhere, do you think Penn State miscalculated the need for official visitors at Blue White weekend? Seems they've lost a footing with majority of their blue chip talent. I'm not sure it was the Blue White weekend visit, but is there another reason why it seems like they've been falling short with the big guys?
Well, I mean, it really just depends on what your perspective is. I mean, if you're basing this, and we discussed it earlier in the show, Brian Bressy, if you're the talented defensive lineman, you go to Clemson. That's just what a lot of people have done and has proven to work out really well for you. We'll see what happens with Julian Fleming on the 31st, but there seems to be a pretty good chance that he's wearing a uniform that's not Penn State's next season. I don't really link that into – I haven't really seen a full explanation why James Franklin opted not to do official visits for Blue-White weekend, but I think these two are completely unrelated. I also think that – that's definitely a glass half empty look at the Penn State 2020 class. And this class is wide open to that sort of thing because there are, you know, just as many misses at hits, but as hits, but at the same time, you're a top 10 class. And a handful of these guys to me look like they're going to move up the national ranks, you know, going through their senior seasons at their schools. So it's a class that probably just isn't getting its due because it's no more for the guys that's not getting than the ones that it is getting.
And in the grand scheme of things, you're going to put out a lot of offers. There's a lot of good players, and you're going to miss more often than you're going to get a hit. Right. So when Brassey picks Clemson, is Alabama all worked up? Is Ohio State all worked up? You know, you pick one school, there's five others who were finalists who you didn't pick.
Right.
So more teams are disappointed than not. All right, let's move on. Next, we have Nick in Harrisburg. I love the tape on 2020 quarterback commit, Micah Bowens. He seems to be finally getting the recognition he deserves. Does he seem a solid commit to Penn State, or could you see a similar situation that happened with Justin Fields?
I would say, well, first of all, I'm glad he brought this up because it gets my engines revved up to talk about how Penn State recruits quarterbacks. Number one, I think that when he says he's getting the attention that he deserves, I think he's referring to him moving up 30 or 40 spots in the national rankings. But at the same time, I think he's just always going to be a three-star. You know, if you are the quarterback at a powerhouse Bishop Gorman program in Las Vegas and you're not a four-star yet, you're never going to be a four-star. Penn State is looking for exactly those types of quarterbacks. They're looking for guys who, you know, they have plenty of everything, but they're not the guy who is going to wow you in t-shirt and shorts. He's not the guy who's going to be who's got so much arm strength that you can't help but he's not 6'5", 220 pounds. They fall in between the cracks. And Micah Bowens, I'm a big fan of his game. You know, if you watch the film that Nick references, you see using his mobility as a thrower, not as a runner. I think he's around 6 feet, 185 pounds. He's not huge, but Trace McSorley, you don't have to be any kind of way to succeed as a quarterback, not even just in college anymore, but in the pros. If you can move, if you can get guys off their spot, if you can create throwing lanes, if you have that kind of special athleticism and special ability to read defenses, it doesn't matter. Kyler Murray's 5'10 and a half. I don't see why we're so concerned about that anymore. I also won't draw any parallels to Justin Fields because Micah Bowens is never going to be the five-star that Justin Fields became. I don't think he's going to get so much attention that he's forced to go someplace else.
Well, here's the thing, though. I'll disagree on two points. One is I think he is going to get a fourth star, and here's why. He's in a major program, but he wasn't one of those guys who was starting as a freshman. I believe he was playing defense and has only had 1 year as a starter. I'm not sure he's hit all the camps because of that.
Yeah.
So I think with his tape looking the way it does, playing a high-profile position with a high-profile program, I think he'll get the fourth star. The other part to this is, the question of the concern about him transferring. My only concern is the fact that we talked earlier about how recruiting is now a national thing. But yeah, I'd feel better if this were a Pennsylvania kid. The fact that Justin Fields was in Georgia, you know, that.
And he went to Georgia.
Yeah.
He's in Las Vegas. Where is he going?
I know he's not going to go to UNLV, but, you know, might he end up at USC or, you know, a West Coast program? Especially if James Franklin were.
Oh, boy.
And I didn't say that. Let's move on. Mike from Harrisburg. Can you explain the transfer portal year-long timeline? Does it open and does it close? I assume it's not open all year. And there could be a decent amount of players who enter the portal, are not picked up by anyone, and then not welcome back on scholarship on their current team.
I don't know the timeline thing. That's interesting. Whether they only, but I would think you can declare that you want to transfer at any time. I would assume that it wouldn't be an open or close kind of thing. If it's October and you're upset about something, you're not playing, or you've had a falling out with the coach or whatever, you decide you want to leave that program, you can gauge interest from other schools. I don't know that it follows a recruiting calendar. I could be wrong about that.
I think you're right. I don't believe there is any calendar to it. I think it's you declare for it and,
right,
and put your name in. And the other part to it, if there's a timeline to it, I believe the only timeline is, for example, you know, Tommy Stevens could say he's transferring, but he wants to stay at Penn State to get his degree so he won't have to sit out a year.
Yeah. I think you're going to see common time periods, which is going to be right after the season. It's going to be during the spring. It's going to be, you know, in Tommy Stevens' case, when something happens in the spring that didn't quite follow your plan, you're going to explore your other options. And then it's just become this big mythical thing. But really, it's just a means to make it known to other programs that they're able to contact you. That's the end. At the end of the day, you know, the word portal gets attached to it, and it just becomes this big thing. It's really just you saying, as a player, I'm available to be contacted, and it's just tearing down the walls of communication.
Do not trivialize it. It gives us something to talk about every week.
True.
So, all right, let's go on. Bill in Philadelphia, how does the uptick in quarterback transfers translate to Franklin's recruiting philosophy? Should he be recruiting two quarterbacks every cycle, or should he save that scholarship for a transfer quarterback?
I don't know that we know what's going to happen yet. You're seeing at Ohio State, who's in a bad spot numbers wise because of, you know, transfers in, transfers out. So it's going to change everything for everybody. I don't think it's going to be you recruit two quarterbacks every cycle now. I don't think that it's going to be that fundamental. But we just don't know what the effects of it are going to be yet. It's going to impact numbers everywhere. The question is, are you going to be able to bring guys in from off the transfer portal that aren't going to start? Are you going to be able to build depth that way? Or how are you going to build depth? So I think we're still a year, 2 years, 3 years away from really determining what this freedom of mobility for transfers is going to, what impact it's going to have at all positions, but especially at quarterback, which is already kind of prone to that anyway.
I got to believe he wants to bring in his own quarterbacks like he started this past year, bringing in two. And yes, guys are going to leave, but I believe he's going to want to keep bringing in his own as far as instead of relying on transfers. All right, Dustin, you got the power.
Nick from Harrisburg, the Micah Bowens question. I'm a big fan of Micah Bowens. I'm a big fan of quarterback recruiting. So you got that bottle of tailgate wine. Congratulations. Thanks, everybody else, for tuning in to the show and submitting your questions to Ask Greg. We'll see you next time.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.